All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn back to the Old Testament book of the Song of Solomon. Solomon's Song this morning. It's chapter 2, and it's on page 812, if you have the same Bible I do. And if you if you know where Isaiah is, it's the book right before Isaiah. All right, now while you're turning there, let me make a little plug for the sign language class. We've been announcing the sign language class that will start tomorrow evening. But there's a sign-up sheet out at the welcome desk, and we would like for you to sign up so we have an idea of materials. So you need to sign up today. Today's the last day to sign up. So it's a beginner's class. So if you would like to learn sign language and get started learning sign language, this would be an ideal opportunity for you to do that. And so it starts tomorrow evening. Now, they are saying that ice is moving in tomorrow afternoon sometime. Who knows whether or not that's true. When in the wintertime, when we have an event scheduled, usually after 3:30 on the day of the event, you can call the church office and there will be a voicemail message to let you know what if that event is canceled or if it's still on. So if there's no message and just the regular message, then everything's going on. But if the event has been canceled after 3:30, when you call the church office, that will be posted on the voicemail. So you can check the voicemail if the weather does move in tomorrow as to whether or not the class will go on tomorrow evening. If not, it'll start the next Monday night. All right. Everybody clear on all that? All right, clear as mud. All right, let's Song of Solomon, chapter 2, please. And I would like to begin reading in the ninth verse. The ninth verse. And you follow along as I read the scripture. And this is the king. This is Solomon talking to his beloved, talking to the Shulamite. This is the Lord, if you will, talking to us, to the church. And he says, "My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, rise my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past." That sounds like a good idea, doesn't it? "The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth." So in other words, springtime. This happened at springtime, in the springtime. "The time of the singing of birds is come." Right now you hear the chattering. Their bills, their beaks chattering. Man, it's been cold. "All right, time of the singing of birds has come. The voice of the turtle dove," is what that's a reference to. Turtles don't make sounds. Turtle doves do, though. "And the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree," watch this now, "the fig tree in spring, the fig tree putteth forth her green figs. And the vines with the tender grape give a good smell." Now, you know why they give a good smell? Because they're blooming, right? The buds, the blooms. "Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. for our vines have tender grapes. Now, I want you to notice here in verse 13, and he's talking about how in the springtime the vines bud and they bloom. And you know that from just life experience, you know that once those blooms, they become grapes. They become fruit. All right. And so in verse 15, he says these words. He says, "Take us the foxes, the little foxes." And what he's saying here is let's get these foxes away. Let's shoo them away. Let's protect the vines. We don't want these little foxes coming in and eating those little buds and those little blooms. We don't want the little foxes, not the big moms and dads foxes. You could see them coming, but these little kits, we don't want those coming, sneaking up in the darkness and eating the vines. No, we want to make sure that the vines do not get spoiled. So if you look carefully at that verse, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. Now, I want to speak to you this morning from that verse and from that thought. And so let's pray. And then I want to speak to you on the little foxes. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for our time together this morning. And I ask your blessing to be upon us as we look at this thought this morning. It is a unique little verse of scripture here. It is something, though, that all of us need. And I pray that you will help us to apply the Word of God to our own individual hearts this morning. Father, we just thank you for the Bible. Bless it now as it is proclaimed. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, in verse 15, the picture is a very simple picture. The vines are growing and they're starting to produce fruit. The first thing that comes up on the vine in the springtime is the bloom. And we know that from the bloom, the fruit is going to grow. But we see here in verse 15 that there is some concern, because the fruit is, if you don't protect it, if you don't guard it, if you're not careful, then these little foxes will come and they will eat. They will just clip off those little blooms and those little buds, and the vine will not fulfill its purpose because the little foxes have come to devour the tender buds. A simple little picture. But now, let's apply this to our lives and apply this to ourselves. The Christian is to produce fruit. You and I, as a believer in Christ, our responsibility is to produce fruit. We remember John chapter 15, that great chapter where the Lord was teaching his disciples that he was the vine and we are the branches. And it is on the branches where the fruit is produced. We all understand that. It is on the branches where the fruit is produced. And Christ is the vine and we are the branches. In John 15 and verse 16, the Lord Jesus said it this way. He said, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you," catch this now, "that ye should bring forth fruit." So the Lord Jesus saved us. He redeemed us. He gave us his free salvation. Wasn't free to him. It cost him his life. But he gave it to us so that we would produce fruit for him. And what is so sad is how many of God's people you see who are not producing fruit for him. There are so many folks that they get saved, and getting saved is, that's good enough. I mean, they're satisfied with just knowing the Lord as their Savior. They're happy with the fact that they're going to heaven. They're good with that. And they don't want anything more than that. And you see these kind of folks all the time. There are what I've called them from this pulpit, holly lily Christians. Now, you know what that is? A holly lily is someone who comes at Christmas time and at Easter time, and that's it. They're good. They've made their two appearances in church for the year, and that's good enough for them. They're holly lily Christians. And then there are others who are Sunday morning glories. I mean, that's it. They just come on Sunday morning. You know, there, I think that there are some folks who do not realize that that we have a Sunday evening service. They don't know that. I don't know if you've missed that when you were reading your bulletin, or you slept through that part of the announcement that Pastor Campbell made. I'm just not sure how you missed that, but somehow, evidently, some of you have missed that point, that we do that we have a Sunday night service. Well, folks, listen, the Lord wants us to produce fruit. We are to produce fruit. And if you're not in church, then you're not going to grow where fruit can be produced. And the truth of the matter is, the Lord is looking for fruit in our lives. Now, it is my experience that that the reason that we are not producing fruit as Christians is generally not because of big, immoral, blatant, out-and-out sins. I mean, I'm talking about the what we would define as the big sins. You know, like drunkenness. I don't think I don't. Maybe a few. I hope not, but maybe a few that attend our church. You've got a drinking problem. I hope not. I hope you get the victory over that. But you know, it's not normally those big things that is our problem. Really, most of the time with our folks, it's not adultery. It's not gambling. I mean, you know, you're not down at Baltimore and down at gambling houses and wasting your money and throwing your money away, gambling with it. I mean, you know, it's not those big blatant sins. You say, well, what is it? Well, it, with most of us, the reason that there's no fruit is because of the little foxes that spoil the vines. It's not the big things. It's those little things, the little things that hinder the growth and take away the tender fruit that the Christian is to reproduce. The revival fires are snuffed out by the little foxes, and our joy is stripped away from us, oftentimes by the little foxes that spoil the vines. And we have no power with God, not because of the big blatant sins, but because of the little foxes that spoil the vines. And they get in our way, and they keep us from producing fruit for the Lord. Those little foxes, not those blatant, out-and-out big sins, but those little foxes are the ones that steal away the fruit from our vines. Now, dear Christian, listen to your pastor this morning. I'm trying to help you this morning. And you just may hear something this morning that will help you to figure out why there's no fruit in your life like you would like there to be. This just may help you to realize that there are some minor little changes that you can make in your life, and these minor changes can make a huge difference in the life that you live for God. So let me help you this morning. All right, now let me ask you to turn over to the New Testament for a moment, to the book of 2 Corinthians, and let's turn to the 7th chapter of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians and chapter 7. right, now watch me carefully here. I'm going to show you something here that I think will help you better understand what the little foxes are. All right, look at verse 1, 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Paul says to the church here, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us, what's the next word? Cleanse. All right, now remember that. Let us cleanse. Now what's the next word? Ourselves. All right, now watch. You're not to cleanse somebody else. Paul said, you take care of yourself. All right, you do this yourself. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. And what's the next word? Spirit. All right, now watch. Watch carefully. All you got to do is go over to Galatians 5 and you can read about the sins of the flesh. But we're all adults here. We know what the sins of the flesh are, don't we? We know there's adultery and there's murder and there's drunkenness and, you know, those big noticeable things that Paul talked about. He talked about those to the Corinthian church too, and said that these and such were some of you. You used to do these things before you were saved. But now that you're saved, he says, cleanse yourself from these filthy things of the flesh. But then notice that says, not only of the flesh, but also of the spirit. And notice that this spirit is a small s. So what is he talking about here? This small s spirit. Well, these are the little foxes. These are the things of your heart. These are the things of your heart. And they must be watched, and they must be taken care of, or they're going to steal your fruit away. So we will gladly, all of us, we will gladly say, I know that there's the sins of the flesh, these big glaring things, but wait a minute, there's the little foxes that spoil the vines, and we've got to take care of those. Now let me give you three of them this morning. First of all, the little foxes of the heart. And by that, I'm talking about our thought life. The little foxes of the heart. Folks, I have said from this pulpit for 22 years now, I've said this so many times, but here it is, you are what you have been becoming. You are what you have been becoming. Oh, I wish everybody would learn that. I hear people say, oh, you need to pray for so-and-so. They fell into sin. No, they didn't. Nobody falls into sin. I mean, people think that they're out here walking along on the road of life and they're just casually walking along, and then all of a sudden this big pit called sin opens up and they just fall down in it and disappear. No, sir, that is not what happens. You say, well, Pastor, I've heard people say that all my life. Yeah, and they are wrong. Nobody falls into sin. You go into sin one step at a time. I mean, it's just that simple. Listen, you go by and see a house burning down. That house did not just erupt into flames like that. It started at an electrical outlet, or it started with a spark. It started with something small and then grew into that. And it's the same way with sin. But you are what you have been becoming. If you're sitting around and being nasty, you are becoming nasty. If you sit around and are filthy, you are becoming filthy. You are what you have been becoming. If you sit around and listen to the world's music, and I'm talking country, I'm talking rock, I mean, you just sit around and listen to the devil's music, then you start thinking that way. Somebody just lets out an oath. Why do you do that? I tell you why you do it. You are what you have been becoming. You sit and listen to people cursing on the television set 24 hours a day. That's what you become. You are what you have been becoming. And we need to realize that. Some Christians just get caught up in all that the world has to offer. And folks, what they have to offer is not good. You sit around in front of a computer and pour pornography into your head, mark it down here somewhere, you become a filthy, nasty individual that nobody wants to be around. That society says ought to be locked up. I mean, they ought to take these perverts, listen, these Hollywood perverts, and thank the Lord. Some of these women have finally stood up and said, wait a minute, this guy is a pervert. Thank the Lord. They finally stood up and said, I guess they got enough money now, they can stand up. I guess, I don't know. But where were they years ago when their career was starting? See? But that's another thing. But anyway, these guys, what do? They're perverts. And folks, I'm telling you, what you put in your head, in your thought life, that's what you become. Let me give you another little fox that'll spoil the vine. You ready? Jealousy. Jealousy. We'll look at somebody else who God is blessing or who God is gifted or whatever, and we become jealous of them. I have you know, that old green-eyed monster. Oh, it's a terrible thing. You may see another person prosper or be placed in a position in the church, and then jealousy creeps in, and it gets the fruit that's on your vine. And while jealousy is not glaring, while jealousy is not nearly as bad in our eyes as adultery or as murder, nonetheless, it's that little fox that will steal the fruit right off your vine. I remember in the first church that I pastored, I don't know why I did this. It was the biggest mistake I ever made, but I thought I needed to have deacons, and that was the biggest mistake I ever made. You check the Bible, they didn't have deacons in the Bible until they had thousands of people in the church. But I thought, well, I got 35, so I need deacons. And so I let the church vote in deacons, and one guy got offended because he didn't get voted in, and he quit. He quit. And I went to him. I said, what's the problem? He said, well, I didn't get voted in as a deacon. I said, so? He said, well, I can't come to church there now. I said, why? He said, well, so-and-so did get voted in. I said, well, man, grow up. Get over it. It'll be all right. You can handle it. No, he couldn't handle it. He was jealous. And then a couple of months went by. Here's how the devil works. A couple of months went by. We had about 30 people that needed to be baptized. And I went down to the river, and it was freezing. That river was, we didn't have a baptistry. We baptized in the river. And I said, you know, we could wait till July for y'all to get baptized. And they said, oh no, we want to get baptized now. It was the end of March. And they said, we want to get baptized now. And I said, but July's a great time to get baptized. And they said, oh no, we want to do it now. And I said, but it's cold. And they said, we know it's cold, but we want to be obedient to the Lord. And I said, would y'all quit being so spiritual? And so we went down into the water, and I took a step and took a breath. And then I took a step and took a breath. And I walked down into the water until I was about up to here, and I couldn't go no more, and I couldn't feel my legs. And I turned around and I said, okay, let's baptize. Come on out here right now. And so one of the ladies that was going to get baptized was quite hefty. Is that the right word? Probably not. Big. Large. And so she took a step, and she took a breath, and then she took a step, and then she took, and she started to turn around and walk away. Well, one of the others, I said, would somebody help me? And so one of the others, I looked at him and nodded his head, and he came over and grabbed her by the arm and walked her out into the water, and he became my liaison from the shore to where I was standing in the ice, I mean in the water, and I would pass the person on to him, and then he would take them up to the steps that they had built and get them out. Well, here was another guy, and he had his hand on his hip. And I thought, well, this is not good. Sure enough, that evening, Pastor, I need to talk to you. And I said, well, what's up? Well, you didn't ask me to help baptize. I said, so? Well, so-and-so, that was my job. I said, what do you mean that was your job? Well, you told me that you wanted me to help with communion and baptism. And I said, yeah, but you were just standing there, so this lady needed help, so he helped. And, well, that was my job. And, you know, they got mad. And not only did he get mad, his wife got mad. His wife wouldn't speak to me. He wouldn't speak to me. His kids wouldn't speak to me. They left the church after about 4 weeks. Why? Because there's little foxes that are out there trying to steal the fruit off your vine. Man, don't let it happen. Don't let it happen. You watch those little foxes. Let me give you another one. The impurity of our thoughts. Oh, here's another little fox. You talk about something that will destroy your heart. Right here it is. Just a bad thought life. Impurity in your thought life. Too many of God's people just have a dirty mind today. Just a filthy mind. You ever been around someone who interpreted every word you said in a filthy manner? I mean, everything you said to them had a double meaning. You ever been around folks like that? They take everything the wrong way. Everything you say is, and they laugh and they think it's funny. And that is a little fox that can spoil the vine. It can just rob you of your fruit, and you better watch that kind of stuff. It'll ruin your fruit. And you wonder why. You wake up one day and you've got no power with God. You go to pray and you have no power in prayer. You go to serve and you have no power as you serve. And you say, well, what in the world's wrong with me? And I'll tell you what it is. A lot of times it's just impure thoughts. You cannot sit around and watch Hell's Box Office and Showtime and Stars and all the rest of that garbage that Hollywood produces and expect to have a pure thought life. You just can't do it. It's not going to work. Little foxes that spoil the vine. Let me give you a second one. I got to hurry. Second little fox is the little fox of the tongue. Isn't it interesting, folks? I mean, boy, you talk about a place where God's people need to do some repenting. It's right here. We just don't control our tongues. What harm has been done because we just let our tongues run unbridled? And this little fox has done more damage than probably anything I know. You ever notice that you've got two ears, but you've only got one tongue? Which means that you ought to be listening twice as much as you are talking. And let me ask you another thing. Have you ever noticed that on the top of your mouth and on the bottom of your mouth, you've got these little white things that are the hardest substance in your body? They're called your teeth. And have you ever noticed that if you would keep that mouth closed and not be talking all the time, that tongue can't say it. It can't hurt you. And isn't it cool that the hardest substance on the top and the bottom surrounds that tongue to keep it in check? But boy, we often let that thing fly, don't we? And open the mouth, and what comes out is not good. little foxes. And this little fox is often critical. Critical. Man, there are some folks that just don't like anything. You know it? There are some folks that don't, they just don't like anything. I remember several years ago now that I had a conflict with one of our members, and I just looked at this person. I said, "Do you like anything around here?" I did. I asked him, "Do you like anything around here?" They didn't like anything. Nothing. Critical. Fault-finding, nitpicking, tail-bearing. Don't allow this little fox to run loose. He'll destroy your fruit. Now, you mark my word on that. Surely a child of God can find better things to talk about than to criticize their brother or their sister or their preacher. Surely there's something else you can talk about. And if you can't find anything else to talk about, here's a thought. Keep your mouth closed. Bingo. Probably shouldn't say bingo in church, but bingo. This little fox is undisciplined, folks. I mean, he's been known for years to be a troublemaker. You say, "Well, Pastor, I just can't help it. I just can't seem to discipline my tongue." Yeah, you can. Let me show you how to do it. You still in 2 Corinthians 7? All right, look at your Bible. Look at your Bible. Verse 1, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse," what's the next word? "Ourselves." Yes, you can do it. Yes, you can. You can cleanse yourself. You say, "Well, how do I do that?" Well, look at the rest of the verse. "Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit." Now, here's how you do it. "Perfecting holiness in the fear of God." You see that little word, perfecting? That is an action that is to be accomplished. That's action to be accomplished. In other words, you can control your tongue if you will bridle your tongue through righteous living. Just do what's right. Read your Bible instead of sitting and watching TV all the time. Read your Bible. I mean, just get in the Word of God. Turn over to Ephesians, just a couple of books over, chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Let me show you what Paul said about this to the church at Ephesus. In verse 1, Ephesians 5, 1, he said, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." But, watch now, "fornication and uncleanness." Now, what are those? Those are the sins of the flesh, all right, from 2 Corinthians 7, 1. These are the fleshly things, fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness. "Let it not be once named among you as become a saint." Watch now, here's the sins of the spirit. "Neither filthiness," these are the little foxes that spoil the vine. "Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient." Now, he said, don't do those, but rather give thanks. You say, "Well, Pastor, is Paul here telling us that we are not to joke, or that we're not to have fun?" Or no, not at all. He is not saying that at all. There's nothing wrong with joking with one another. There's nothing wrong with having fun and acting crazy once in a while. But notice here, he is condemning joking and condemning jesting and condemning foolish talk when it is connected to the filthy. And you know, folks, think about it. Comedians, they can't do their job unless they are filthy. Isn't that sad? And Paul says, don't laugh at that when it's connected to the filthy. Look at Look at that word again, which are not convenient. That not convenient, you and I would understand it this way. Stuff that is not becoming of a Christian. Not becoming of a Christian. In other words, be careful with what comes out your mouth. Folks, listen, people are watching you. They know you go to the church, the Open Door. They know that this is your church, and where you work, they know that you go to the church here. And if they're standing around a water cooler and the filthy joke of the day is told, and if you're the one that tells it, oh my, that little fox has just come in there and stolen your fruit right off your vine. Oh, be careful. And then number three, real quickly, little things that we do, the little fox of behavior, the things that we do. These are small little attitudes that show themselves. These are those little attitudes that show themselves. You say, Pastor, like what? Like unkindness towards others. Folks, let me tell you something. Why don't you just don't physically do it, but mentally do it. Would you just mentally look around this morning? Would you just mentally look around? Just think about your brothers and sisters that are sitting here this morning. A lot of folks sick this morning. There's a lot of holes this morning. A lot of folks sick. And a lot of the elderly don't want to come out in this cold weather. But let me tell you something. Think about your brother for a moment, would you? Do you realize that everybody's having a hard time? Do you realize that? I mean, everybody's having a hard time. It's not easy for anybody. You say, well, I wish I was like so-and-so. They don't have any problem. Yeah, they do. Oh, you have no idea. You have no idea. So I wish I had money. Money's not your answer. If you had all the money in the world, you'd still have the same problems you've got. That's not your answer. So what's the point, preacher? Here's the point. Be kind to everybody. Everybody's having a hard time. Everybody's struggling. It's just the nature of the game. And I tell you, this is a battle that we fight. I mean, unkindness towards others, thoughtlessness, a harsh treatment of others. I hear sometimes these kids in the school, I'll hear them outside my window. I'll hear them outside the doors, and the walls around here are paper thin. And I'll hear them standing down in the hallway, and one child, and surely it's when the teachers aren't around. Surely I would not think that teachers would allow one child just to be brutal to another child verbally. You say, well, it's Carroll Christian Schools. I know, isn't that awful? Do you imagine what goes on in a public school if it's like that here? Can you imagine? Yeah, I hear people say, well, I'm gonna put my kid in Carroll Christian so they won't be influenced by the world. Seriously? Man, there's a ton of world in Carroll Christian. You say, well, what do you do with them? Well, I told you what Mark Twain said, didn't I? He said, when they get 12, 13 years old, you build a box and you put them in that box, nail it shut, and cut a hole in it so you can throw food in so they can breathe. All right, and then when they get 16, you plug up the hole. That's true, isn't it? All right, tomorrow about noon, that's going to hit some of you. Oh, I get that. Plug up the hole, yeah. Oh, how these things can quickly rob us of our fruit. Little foxes. Just unkindness. Just unkindness. Way to control this? Unkindness? Look at Ephesians. You're still in Ephesians 5? Look at verse 15 of Ephesians 5. Look at this. He said, seeing then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. A circumspect walk, that's a cat on a picket fence with a bulldog on each side. He is very careful where he puts each paw. circumspect walk. He's watching all sides. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Look at verse 18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Folks, the way to get to walk right is to do right. You be filled with the Spirit. And just do right. Just do right. I mean, you know what to do. You know how to do. Just do it. And every person in this room who is saved, you are a branch that comes off the vine. And the Lord Jesus is that vine. And that means that every single person in this room, you are a branch. Would you look at your branch? Is there fruit there? Is there fruit there? You say, well, Pastor, I've never done any of those big old sins you're talking about. No, but have the little foxes come and spoiled the vines? Have the little foxes come and just nibbled away and now there's no fruit? Why don't we examine our hearts this morning? And why don't we just say, Lord, I want to produce some fruit for you. And you know, this sermon can be preached to every single person in this room. Every single one of us is guilty of the little sins that spoil the vines. Would you look at your vine this morning? Would you look at it and just see what's out there on the tips of that vine? Is there fruit growing, or have the little foxes come and spoiled your vine?